Hi, everybody. This is a series about gender and sexuality in music education. Since our language surrounding these topics is ever-evolving, please note that terms used in this podcast may not match what is most current at the time of your listening. I also recognize that we may not all agree on how to handle these sensitive topics and situations, but I encourage you to listen with open minds and open hearts. Enjoy the show. Hi, everyone. This is Music Education, Generally Speaking, and I'm your host, Stephanie Gregory. I am beyond excited today to bring you the first episode of our very first season featuring Dr. Paula Grissom Broughton, who is the chair of music at Spelman College. And in this conversation, we discuss her work in feminist and Black feminist pedagogy. Enjoy.
Well, just to start, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself.
Cool. I am Paula Grissom Broughton, graduated from Spelman College in 97, went straight to Northwestern for my master's in piano performance and pedagogy, actually, and waited a couple of years and decided to go to Boston University for my doctorate in music education. And so that's where I really started looking at, feminist studies within music education.
Were you taking classes in the gender and sexuality department at Boston, or was it a professor in the music school that got you into that?
It was actually, well, let me back up. Even when I was at Spelman, I mean, it's an all-women's college, of course. Being there, in that environment, you will be challenged on certain views regarding to race and gender. So even at Northwestern, I've always had that playing in the back of my mind. But it wasn't until I got to Boston University where a former mentor of mine actually challenged me on that, you know, because she saw my background, at least my education background, and say, you know, have you ever thought about really digging into feminist studies? Because I was sort of skirting around it, but not really knowing how to address it. And she sort of gave me that push to say, no, go ahead and look at this, you know, more in-depthly. So that's where I would say it really sparked.
Okay. And I'm really interested in this concept of feminist pedagogy because there's not a lot of research done, especially in music education, on feminist pedagogy. So what exactly, how do you define feminist pedagogy?
In a broader sense, I define feminist pedagogy as, of course, it's operating from critical theory, but I see it as a teaching and learning approach where the classroom environment is more democratic, it's decentralized, you have diverse curriculum and diverse pedagogy. So even the way you teach, it really goes against the social norms or the traditional norms, where, you know, we don't like to say it, but where the instructor and students, they're really on the same playing field, you know. I see it more played out in a college classroom because I learned so much from my students, you know, instead of me being the reservoir of all the information. So in a broader sense, I see it as a democratic way of teaching and learning.
Okay. And So then, you know, music ed is, there's a lot of scholarship on the democratic classroom and kind of that pedagogical idea. So is there a big difference between feminist pedagogy as a pedagogy and just democratic classroom?
Yeah, I think it is. I think they're not necessarily exclusive totally, but I think there are places where feminist pedagogy sort of goes outside of that norm because you are also looking at how gender and sexuality shape the teaching, shape one's awareness of the knowledge. You know, you're, I think it pushes the envelope a little bit more, you know, sure. Where you're bringing in more inclusiveness. You know, it's not the same as I respect what you have to say, you respect what I have to say. But I believe feminist pedagogy, it liberates the student to stretch out and do something more. Mm. Yeah.
And so then what you distinguish in both your dissertation and article, the difference between feminist pedagogy and Black feminist pedagogy. And I'm just wondering if you could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, Black feminist pedagogy is really, again, it's not necessarily exclusive of one another because, you know, there are places where it intertwines, where it connects and, you know, diverge and converge. But Black feminist pedagogy is more radical, right? And it's founded, when you look at the roots and the foundation of feminist pedagogy and how it was founded out of, you know, the waves of feminism, looking at it from a historical point of view, feminism was really rooted on the basis of white middle-class women. And not all women had their voices. Even poor white women didn't have their voice. So when Black feminists came along, I believe maybe that second wave of feminism, where it was like, wait a minute, you know, there are more women out here. Hello, Black women, poor women. So Black feminist pedagogy, because it was founded upon that, the principles of looking at intersections of oppression, not just that I'm a woman, but what does it look like to be a Black woman? A Black uneducated woman, a Black uneducated queer woman, you know, looking at all of these intersectionalities of oppression. And so Black women, Black feminist pedagogy is one founded upon that. So you're looking at teaching your students how to see society, if you will, right, from a perspective where they become activists, you know, where they become revolutionary, where they create their own narratives. You know what I'm saying? It's to me, I see Black feminist pedagogy more than just diversifying content, more than just, you know, and even speaking to that, if we're going to diversify content, how about let's just rewrite the book? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm not going to bring in my own things. You know, let's put in some composers, women composers, or Black women composers. No, let's just rewrite the whole narrative. You know, shut that down. Who says that it's what someone else says about me? No, I'm just going to redefine who I am. I'm going to write my own narrative. So I see Black feminist pedagogy as looking at the roots of it. I see it as equipping our students to be radical changers, you know, to be for real game changers out there.
So when you're in your classes at Spelman, how does the implementation of feminist pedagogy come into play in your content choices and the way that you talk to your students?
Well, you know, I'll even talk about the Glee Club because even in my research, I observed the Glee Club, you know, from that perspective. And even within the Glee Club, the conductor is more, at first it sort of threw me off, okay? But he's, you know, he'll work on tone, he'll work on timbre, you know, he'll work on the technical things. But the students have a lot of say-so about what they want to sing, why they want to sing, if they want to change the lyrics. Mm. We've had several students who would write music for the Glee Club who would say, you know what, let me conduct it because I hear it differently. With the selections, well, yeah, they would pick a lot of the music that was written for Black women voices or written by Black women composers of all kinds. For several years, we had older music colleagues who were thrown off because it wasn't your typical college music repertoire, although they do that, you know. But on several occasions, you would have them doing some non-traditional things. but again, redefining what it is to be a group of Black women singers. I mean, hell, the term Glee Club is meant for, you know, that's the term that was given to male choral groups. And I think I see them taking that title and redefining it. Now in my classroom, again, it's one of those things where I try to instill in the students to redefine what it's like to be a Black woman in the U.S. You know, we look at different performances from Marian Anderson to, you know, performances on the American Music Awards, you know, and try to look at that from different perspectives. You know, what does that look like? What does this mean when Beyonce come out in this, you know, wardrobe? What does it mean when Miley Cyrus is patting the butt of another Black? You know what I'm saying? So instead of just looking at performances from just a point of enjoyment, we try to look at it from different perspectives, you know. And of course, everybody's voice is heard. What I have to say is not always what's golden. Even in my classroom, a lot of times I don't really look at the mechanics of writing. I don't look at all the formatting and all of that. You know, I want to know, did you read your material? Did you watch the material? What does your voice have to say about it? You know? Mm. Yeah.
So you have a different perspective now teaching at Spelman, but can you talk a little bit about when you were observing as a researcher and into this feminist and Black feminist pedagogy?
As a researcher, I thought to myself, oh boy, we are not forward thinking, at least in the music department. You know, I went in thinking that, hey, this is Spelman. This is, you know, Black girl magic, right? All of that. But within the music department, and even some of the music faculty that I interviewed, they said, you know what? My style of teaching is not on the lines of feminist pedagogy. It's not on the lines of Black feminist pedagogy. You know, I'm teaching the way I was taught, which, you know, for some, you're looking at what, now 50, 60 years ago? And they are re-implementing those same patterns, you know? But yeah, as a researcher looking in, I saw that there were so many gaps and there were so many places where instructors were not implementing those feminist pedagogical practices. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. I guess that's a little mind blowing for me, because as a reader of the article, I was thinking, oh, it must have been chosen because there was feminist pedagogy happening. But that's,
well, I went in thinking that.
Very, very interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, and you'll probably find too, as an observer, you go in thinking one way. And I really thought that because I said, hey, this is Spelman, right? Of course it's going on. But it actually wasn't. And I don't want to put all the blame on the music faculty, because they were also dealing with some challenges where you have students who really, I mean, even now, they don't come in equipped thinking that I have a voice. You know, we're still getting young women who come, not all, it's getting better, but you'll be surprised how many young women who come in thinking they don't have a voice. You know, it's not what I think. They wait for you to tell them almost what to think. Until, you know, even for one of my women in music classes, I sort of have to massage them for a couple of weeks to get them to understand that, no, it's okay for you to to have a voice, it's okay for you to select the music that we're going to talk about this week. You know, even with the Glee Club, starting us off, it's almost like, okay, we're ready. Tell us what to do. And then it takes a couple of weeks for the conductor, the director to say, okay, you guys, what are you listening to? Tell me why you like this. What's cool about this? What is she saying? Oh, okay, how about we put this in one of our choral pieces? You know, so it's not just on the instructor's side. You know, it takes a minute to present safe spaces for our students to know that they have a voice and they can be heard. Mm. Yeah.
So does this approach, feminist pedagogy and Black feminist pedagogy, could it transfer to classrooms that are homogeneously white or that are predominantly male? Because you've observed in an all-female setting, which is kind of prime for feminist pedagogy, but I'm interested to hear your opinions on that.
Yes, I believe that it can, and I believe that it is happening with more of the events that are happening in our society today. Because if you look at even the grounds for Black feminist pedagogy and feminist pedagogy, it's on the grounds of, one, creating a democratic, liberatory environment. That's one. Two, it's creating game changers, right? Social agents, agents of social change. And I think if you're doing that within your classroom, then yes, it can be implemented. And there is research out there that talks about it, even talks about what is it, I believe I came across one article, talks about being white in a white classroom, but yet trying to teach in using applications of Black feminist pedagogy. And pretty much the author talks about how it can be done, you know, how it is that you, because when you look at Black feminist pedagogy, you are looking at teaching your students to see the world through different perspectives, right, that would instill in them to be radical change agents, right? So I think that, yes, that would actually be a prime place for me. I think it would be even more effective to implement feminist pedagogy in an all-male classroom, or to implement Black feminist pedagogy in a classroom where it's predominantly white. You know, that I think that's where you can really begin to see the outcomes of that, because you're teaching students to look at situations through different perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That brings me to one more question about that subject. Thinking, you know, a lot of our music education classrooms and the teachers within them are white. Mm-hmm. And it's just a you know, right now a fact of music education in America. And so I'm wondering, you know, there are a lot of young teachers who have a hard time reconciling, you know, their place as a white teacher with kids who do not share the same cultural background as them. Absolutely. And approaching these subjects is, in addition to being a first, second, third year teacher, is a scary thing. So do you have any advice for those teachers who are reconciling with their whiteness and their privilege in and trying to implement these kinds of things?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, a lot of teacher preparation programs, they really don't prepare. I mean, you know, they just don't. You know, you read about the things, the stats, you know, of the students that you would teach. But until you're in that situation, I mean, honey, I taught at a school. I was like, okay, I'm not ready for this. And again, that's where Black feminist pedagogy come in, because it looks at those intersections, right? I remember I taught at this elementary school. It was a Title I school. And I came in there as if, you know, I'm going to connect with them and we're going to, you know, do lots of great things. And it was not good. It was not good. And I had to take a step back. I mean, looking back on it now, I was really coming in with an elitist type of perspective. I was coming in with my own experiences from when I was in elementary school and I had a great music teacher, and not looking at the conditions. So I think for a lot of first, second, and third year students or teachers who are coming into programs, I think one of the best things that you can do is to engulf yourself within the community that you teach. If you come in as an outsider, that I'm coming in to teach you, and well, it's almost the other way around, almost like the kids are the outsiders, and I'm coming in as the savior to show you how and what you need to do, you're going to miss it. It's not going to happen, you know. But I think for those music teachers who really become active in the community, whatever that may look like, that may be having coffee with one of your students' parents. It may be coming to, you know, if they go to church, it may be showing up at church one Sunday. You know what? I want to just know what you do. It may mean going to, you know, it's really crossing those, this is schoolwork, you know, this is our barrier or our boundary. But it may mean really getting to know the environment mm-hmm. and the experiences of your students to understand your students. You know, mm-hmm. and that's harder than, you know, it's easier said than done.
Right. And but, not often taught, like you said, in undergraduate preparation programs.
Yeah. I mean, you really have to understand the total student. You know, you teach children choir, so you know that they sometimes come in, they may not want to sing. Mm-hmm. And it could be that they're either hungry. They saw their mom's boyfriend, you know, treat her a certain kind of way. They, you know, I mean, it could be a number of things, but until you know the community and the environment of which you teach, you'll always be the outsider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we've talked a little bit in our discussion and used the word intersectional and intersectionality. And I just want to brief pause to just discuss that term, because I know it's often misinterpreted. And so if you could just speak a little bit about that.
What, from which perspective? Because I got a lot to say.
Let's go first from the like feminist theory perspective, and then second from how we can put it into music education and use that thought.
I think I understand your question. I think from a feminist theory perspective, you are looking at different points of where someone is oppressed and how those different points affect each other and affect who that the overall, you know, person's experience. I think I understood your question.
Yeah, that's exactly.
From a music education point of view, I think we need to, regarding the way we teach and whom we teach, we also need to take those things into perspective. I don't know if you're talking about this, but one of the things I do, even in my music, I teach a history of Western music course, and I'm the type of instructor, I like to look at the whole person, you know, when we're talking about their music. You know, when we talk about, I think, we had a little, what were we talking about? I think we were talking about the ballets of Tchaikovsky. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, some kind of way we got on his sexuality with Tchaikovsky being homosexual, and how for so long in our history books, you don't hear it. And then now recently, there's a mention of it. Well, I use that as a sort of a platform to open up and talk about mm-hmm. what the canon say about us. You know, do they pick certain things about our lives that they want to put on a pedestal mm-hmm. and leave the rest behind? For me, as a feminist pedagogue, you cannot do that. Mm-hmm. If you're going to talk about my ballets, you got to talk about my homosexuality. You got to talk about my sexuality, because my music did not come from just something in the air. It came from me. I'm a homosexual white man who's operating in this field where, you know, I may be looked at one kind of way. And now the people who are writing about me are white heterosexual men who are afraid to talk about my homosexuality. So I think when we're teaching about, you know, our music in the music classroom, tell the whole story. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're talking about me as a composer, as a writer, please reveal my whole life, you know, and not just the part that fits into your framework, you know. So we talk about those things and I try to use those opportunities for students to see the necessity of them writing their own narrative, getting their own story out there and not having nobody else to write your own story about you or your music. You know, so when we're talking about music composers, when we're talking about artists, you know, let's do a 360 of that performer. One thing that I like that Kevin Johnson does, he's the director of the Glee Club. I like how he have students to find information that's non-musical related about a composer or an artist and to discuss how those things may have influenced their music or writing their songs or writing this particular choral piece. So that's how I like to approach it, you know, in the music classroom.
I love that. It reminds me so much. I'm in a queer theory class right now and we're reading Foucault. And so it reminds me of this like kind of subjectivity of levels of oppression and just different things that are centered. And, you know, absolutely, you see with all the mainly, like you said, white theorists, what they're centering.
Exactly.
I love that idea of reclaiming kind of the facet of your identity that you wish to put at the center instead of what's being put there.
Absolutely. And I think if you do that, you know, I have a student who is bisexual in my classroom, and just by sharing, you know, the whole thing of Tchaikovsky, she was like, you know, wow, you know, I feel like I'm okay now. You know, I think when we share the whole story of composers and artists, it's a form of giving our students a look at, you know what, it's okay. You're okay. Your voice is okay. So I don't know. Sometimes I get wrapped up in, you know, don't think about what these people say. You know, who wrote this book? Sometimes I'm like, you know, who wrote this? I mean, especially in my women in music class, you know, a lot of it is based upon, you know, what white educated middle class women have said. And I tell them all the time, you know, they are questioning me, well, why is it stated like this? Why is it said? I say, you have to consider the writer. Okay. Now, what is your own perspective on it? Mm-hmm. You know, so I try to teach them, yeah, challenge, just because even because I said it, question me, you know.
Well, that's such a hard thing for our profession. From what I've seen is that, you know, we hone in on our specific skills for so many years, and to be that vulnerable in front of kids, you know, whatever they are, adults even, to be that vulnerable is, I think, the first step in implementing this feminist pedagogy.
I think you're right. You know, until recently, I was afraid, you know, I would come in, you know, like, honestly, I could get over on this. you may have to take this part out. You know, I could come in and fluff and get over on them. And now I'm to the point where when they ask me questions, I'll say, you know what? I don't know. Let's take out our phones and let's start Googling. Yes. At least, or I don't know. What do you think this says? You know, why do you think this person wrote this way? You know, you're right. Be vulnerable that you don't know. Be vulnerable that, you know, you may know more than I do. Or your way of seeing this may be the foundation of me questioning more of what I teach, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, you have a great point.
Well, I want to be respectful of your time. I could talk about this for 2 days.
Oh, I'm good. I just want to make sure you have your information.
I do. And this is, I mean, totally selfishly, this interview was so much, not only for the audience that I'm attempting to reach, but for me, I just had so many questions after reading your work. And so this has been really enlightening for me. There's not much scholarship in this area, but I'm wondering if you know anybody doing great work in feminist pedagogy scholarship in music ed or just implementation in the classroom from what you've observed?
You know what? I periodically go out there just to see what's going on. And you're right, there still isn't a lot, particularly for the music classroom. I mean, you have your, I use Koyaman a lot, but since then, I don't see a lot, which, you know, one of my mentors told me, well, you know, that means you need to write more. Like, you need to write something. So I haven't seen much lately, you know, and I do think it's needed. So hopefully you could be the one who...
or collaboration.
Yeah. I'm totally open to that. But it's not a lot when it comes to music. And I'm seeing fewer and fewer implementation of that as the levels of education get higher. Mm. You know, I'm seeing people who are talking about it maybe in high school, but when it gets to college, particularly for performance ensembles, mm-hmm. I'm seeing it less, you know, because you still have that on the conductor, we have a performance to do, you know, just sit there and listen, do what I say, do. But yeah, I don't see it that much happening anymore. And not a lot of writing on it as well, so... We're going to have to change that.
Yes. I can't wait. I'm now feeling more energized to.
Yeah. You're going to have to change that.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anything that I didn't cover that you feel like you want to talk about?
You know what? I don't think so. But if you come up with something and you want to chat again, we can chat some more.
No. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really do appreciate
it. Thank you. And good luck with everything. And let me know if you need any help with anything else.
Thanks so much. Stay healthy.
Music Education, Generally Speaking, is produced by me, Stephanie Gregory, with music by the Nishone Holloway Band. For more information about the podcast and our guests, visit stephaniegregory.com and click on the Music Education, Generally Speaking podcast icon, or find us on Instagram at Meg's Podcast. We hope you'll continue these important conversations within your own communities. Be well.
Tonight I'll close my eyes and I'll view all the out from inside. Won't judge, rehearse, or divide. I'll relax, detach, and decide to try.